North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we sure? Huh? Yeah, I gotta admit to you that a lot of my pastor friends aren't preaching in their churches today. Do you know why? Because it's the week after Easter, right? It's like the week after Easter, everything kind of resettles, right? We have those overflow crowds. We had all this extra programming, all this, yeah! And then there's the week after Easter, right? There's the week after Easter. And so a lot of them are like out chilling. They're up in the mountains somewhere. But I just want you to know that I'm here with you. Okay, I'm here. I'm here with you in the big rise and when it's just the day in, day out, right? Well, the good news is that Easter is not over. Easter is not over, right? That's really what we're going to be talking about in this series. Everybody say dunamis. I say like dunamis. Yeah, we're like dunamis. You have to say from like your gut level, not up. Dunamis, right? All right, that kind of sounded kind of creepy. I don't want to do that. Don't go that deep with her, right? But the good news is that Easter is not over. That the week after Easter is filled with dunamis power in the same way that Easter Sunday is, right? How many of you guys, like me, would have been really freaked out if you were one of the original disciples, kind of tracking with Jesus, following him around, you know, watching him do all these miraculous signs, going, whoa, wow, man, look at, whoa. And then he just drops this truth bomb and he goes, hey, by the way, I'm going to go away. Like, they're going to come get me. They're going to put me on a cross and I'm going to go away. Right? The week after Easter is going to come. Right? And so for me, I think about that sometimes, especially when we're talking about this idea of dunamis and the series that we're going to be in the next 3 weeks talking about who the Holy Spirit is, the person, the purpose, and you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But that could be a freaky thing, right? I mean, when you think of everything that Jesus did for them and to them during that time, him saying it's better that I go away just kind of seems a little strange, doesn't it? That's what we're going to talk about today. Why Jesus said that it was better that he would go away, all right? So let's pray, and we're going to dive into the scriptures today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your dunamis power in us. Lord, we thank you that that you are the God who shows up, whether we're in a chill mood or we're overly enthusiastic. Lord, that you show up in our lives and you do your will and your work in ways that we exalt and we honor you for, whether we're subdued or we're celebrating. And so, Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace. Pray that you'd open our eyes to hear, or excuse me, our eyes to see and our ears to hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, whether we're subdued or not subdued, I'm going to be a little animated today. Is that okay? Can I do that? Because we're talking about this idea of dunamis, the Holy Spirit as a person. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the word dunamis, meaning power or God's abilities, his miraculous strength and power and might at work through a believer's life, is the wonder-working power of God through us, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but 120 times that word shows up in the New Testament. That word pops up and just says, dunamis, pow. It's the idea that where for English language that we get the word dynamite, right? Anybody ever seen dynamite go off? You know, my father-in-law can make sticks of dynamite. Like from his years in construction, his years in the army. And so like when we go out to his place for the 4th of July, like boom, right? If you've ever seen dynamite go off, it's big time, right? It's this idea of dynamite. And sometimes because that's where we get that root word, we can sometimes gauge God's work in our lives only on the big explosion. Right? We're always looking for the next experience of, right? And if I were honest with you, I would say most of my days as a pastor and a follower of Jesus Christ are more like having, when you're a kid and you have a little box of snap and cracks, right? What are those called? Crack and pops, whatever you call them. You're just out walking around. But when God's at work in more than just an individual and a whole bunch of them together, that he can do dynamite type of things. Does that make sense? So God can do the big, amen, We all contend and believe for the miraculous. We've all seen it show up in our lives. In fact, the Bible says that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can call him Lord. That's Jesus. That's pow. That's pow. That's poof, poof, poof. Right? You guys okay with some sound effects today? Yeah. Yeah, but good news is it's not just a pow that happens in our lives. That when we live in the community and we experience Jesus as a person, it's like when you were a kid and you take those black cats, right, and you tie them all together. Anybody ever, everybody ever say, this pop's not big enough, bang. So I want to hear, bang, 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 right, or boom, right? Like we, like I had crazy friends, okay? They had crazy friends, okay? That's probably more truth. And we'd like go get a block of those things, like what they used to call a great big blocks of them. A brick, yeah. We'd get a brick, we'd tie them all together, and then we'd light it off and, I mean, it was just like, popping all over the place, right? Or if that wasn't enough, we'd take that whole thing, we'd stick it in a jug or underneath something, and boom, you get the big explosion, right? How many of you guys, like me, want God to show up in your lives with the big explosions, the booms, right? The things that we can write home on, things that we can pin down, and that for generations, God, people are talking about because God showed up in our lives, amen? We believe for that. But I also want to be the type of believer, type of pastor, type of person that doesn't look for external experiential things all the time to give me faith in the God that I know is alive and well and the same whether I'm excited about him or not excited about him. So it's the little lady fingers, right? That we say that is dunamis and the great big explosions are works of God in dunamis. It really is a fascinating question in my mind. This idea of where does power come from? Like, everybody knew where to get it from when Jesus was walking around. It's like, hey, Jesus, knock, 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 knock. Hey, can you come out here? There's a dude who needs to get healed. Yeah, he's like, his head's spinning around and stuff, right? I need you to come out here and do this, right? But then when he goes away, right, he says it's better that way. Why? It's better because now he can, by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the dunamis power that is, inhabit his people. God's always needed a body to inhabit. You guys know that, right? He always has. It's why he came as the Christ child. It's why he lived on this earth, so that we could both experience him in the flesh, but also that his power gets worked out through the power of the Holy Spirit through a body. We're going to talk about that. But this idea of where does power come from, and I got to tell you, I've been to Bible college. I've studied this for a long time. I can't explain the whole thing about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Like some things I understand and other things he just blows me away. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't see that coming, Lord. Right? Anybody else have that experience, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I like to liken it to the idea of electricity, right? How many of you guys are thanking God right now that we have electricity on? Because it's really weird if I was up here and I was just talking into the darkness. Hello? Are they still in here or did they leave? Right? We all experience the benefits of things like electricity. And yet if you came and asked me, Pastor Chad, where does the energy come from to make electricity? Well, if you're like an electrical engineer, you can answer that. I can't. And my guess is that most of us in this place can't answer it either. So don't just be throwing stones at me because I can't answer it, right? So I thought it would be a great way to start this series, start this conversation about where does our power come from in this talk on dunamis power as a person by watching this video. Let's watch it real fast. Going to explain where electricity comes from.
We humans, of course, spend our energy doing a lot of things besides eating. We travel, we build, we power all sorts of technology. To do all this, we use sources like fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, which contain energy that plants captured from sunlight long ago and stored in the form of carbon. When we burn fossil fuels in power plants, we release this stored energy to generate electricity. To generate electricity, heat from burning fossil fuels is used to power turbines that rotate magnets, which in turn create magnetic field changes relative to a coil of wire, causing electrons to be induced to flow in the wire. Modern civilization depends on our ability to keep powering that flow of electrons. Fortunately, we aren't limited to burning non-renewable fossil fuels to generate electricity. Electrons can also be induced to flow by direct interaction with light particles, which is how a solar cell operates. Other renewable energy sources, such as wind, water, geothermal, and biofuels, can also be used to generate electricity.
There you go. So turn to somebody today and say, I knew that. Pastor Chad, he just doesn't know, but I know these kind of things, right? You know, it's interesting to me that you and I can go through our day utilizing the ingenuity of modern technology, like our cell phones. How does that work? Or gas engine or gas-powered engines. How does that work? Or electricity and not being able to explain it, right? We do, right? I mean, we just flip the switch and we expect that the power's going to come on, don't we? We just hit the ignition in our car, boom, and it goes, right? We dial the phone and it calls people, and we surf the net, and we don't know how to explain any of that stuff. But we experience it, and we benefit from it, amen? So why is it any different when it comes to talking about the Almighty? Why is it that we feel like we have to be able to explain everything before we can show anything? You know, it's true, right? It's like when we talk about Father God, everybody's like, oh, man, he's cool. Yeah, he's like Gandalf, but nicer. Like, he's got that great beard, and, like, he's so wise, and, like, he created stuff and things, right? Like nobody says Father God's not good, and nobody ever says that. And then we talk about Jesus, and we think about the sacrifice that he made and all the power. I mean, it was like a early version of, like, Superman, but better, right? Like, he's walking around just putting out all these big, you know, black cat explosions, right, of Holy Spirit power in his ministry. And nobody says bad stuff about Jesus. I mean, we talk about Jesus, I hear, amen, yeah, woo, yeah, I went to the cross, yeah, woo. But then you bring up the Holy Spirit even in church, people are like, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks, right? Like, it's the platinum edition on our vehicles, right? I mean, it can get a little weird, and there's reasons that it can get a little weird, because we can imagine Jesus because he walks. We can imagine Father God because we embodied him with this Gandalf-like figure. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, the scriptures explain it as like the rushing wind, the mighty wind that blew through the place. How do you explain that? Or it says that when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus upon his baptism, there was like a dove, big old bird. Wah! Right? That's a little weird. I don't know if you're like me, but I've been in some, I mean, we're a Pentecostal type of church family, right? That's why we get excited and the pastor gets all passionate and sweaty up here, right? But I've been in some situations where, like, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm going, no, it's not. That's always, nope, no, it's not. Maybe it was, I don't know, let's pray, right? Is it in the scriptures? I don't know, let's make sure. But how many of you guys know there's been some outlandish and some emotionally manipulative stuff that's been done in the name of the Holy Spirit? Right? We don't want that. What we want to experience as a community is naturally supernatural lives. Lives that put down our little firecrackers as the Lord asks us to, and as we do it together, we see a bigger and bigger and bigger explosion of what God wants to do in the lives of people's lives, right? If we were completely honest, we'd say, God good, Jesus good, Holy Spirit, either no thanks, or we tend to question, right? Or we tend to mistrust something that's done in the name of the Holy Spirit. And I dig that. I like the fact that we're people of the Word, so that we, when we see something, somebody says, that's the Holy Spirit, we can go back to the Scriptures, and we can say, is it done? Is that who he is? Is that consistent with his expression throughout history? Is that something that benefits people? Is that something that leads to the redemption of more people and the healing of more people and the Spirit empowerment of more people, right? And I just got to be honest with you, that sometimes I struggle as a pastor on the week after Easter with how our culture tends to chase these big power-infused movements of God in the world. I just got to be honest with you, right? I got to be honest with you that we're created that way. It's like, ooh, where's the next hot thing? Woo! It's the week after Easter. We got, whoa, yeah! Right? Let's go to this church. Let's go to that church. Let's go around the world over here. Let's go do that, right? How many of you guys know that we make something that's already complex a lot harder when we don't recognize the dunamis power is available every week, every day, all the time, right? Whether it's subdued or it's a big power explosion, something going on that he's just doing special in the world, can we be a people that celebrate both? Can we? I hope so, because the goal is all churches together as his body, amen? So, I like to start this talk by simply saying, when we experience the supernatural, it's a little beyond the natural, it feels a little strange. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's beyond the ordinary, everyday, kind of just going to work, doing the thing, doing the stuff, right? And when we get that spirit, when we get that dunamis power, when the Lord leads us to do something, when the Lord encourages us, when the Lord exhorts us, when the Lord does what he does, it's supernatural in our lives. But I think as a culture, sometimes we chase the experiential and forget that the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a relationship that he's given us through his son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. That even though the gifts of God are good, right, the presence of God is where it's at. It's not just the gifts, it's the giver. And when it comes to this idea of experiencing the Holy Spirit, that's where he shows up most consistently in my life. I can tell you, I've prayed for people, I've laid hands on them, I've seen them recover just like that. I've also laid hands on people that didn't recover, and I did their funeral. But the good news of the gospel is that that's not the end of the story for those that know Jesus, right? That's not the end of the story. So, now that your pastor's had his little rant about the week after Easter, we can get into what we're getting into, right? But can we just stop for a minute and give God glory and just say what an honor it is that he wants to know us personally. That he chose to come in flesh, clothe himself in flesh so that people would know who he is. And then he chose to go to that cross to take away the sin barrier for you and I to know and experience God on a consistent basis. On an ongoing basis. He eliminated that barrier so that we would now be his inhabited body in this world as witness to him, right? Don't take my word for it. I'm just some dude, okay? Let's look at the scriptures. Let's see what it has to say about dunamis, the person. Okay, Romans chapter 8, 11. If you have good eyesight, you can read this text. If you don't, I hope you brought a Bible or you trust your pastor enough to read it to you, okay? So Romans 8, 11 of the New Living Translation says it this way. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that's like a mic drop point, right? It's like, all right, let's close. Bam, come on up, man. We're done. Like, that's enough for one day, right? The Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that's kind of how it needs to be said, right? But as pastors and teachers of the Word of God, and we tend to say it more like the Spirit of God. God, right, Andrew? Who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, right? And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Man, I hope that encourages you today, because I am all geeked out about this for some reason, this service. The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit, the same Spirit, not junior version Spirit, not just a little anointing drop Spirit. The same Spirit that rose God, Jesus, from the grave, the third part of that Trinity, right? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, same triune level of authority, lives in you. Lives in you. So, no matter what battle you're facing today, no matter how much it feels like you've been kicked in the teeth this week, no matter how things maybe haven't gone as you mapped it out or how you planned it out or what you thought it should go like or what it should be, that same Spirit of God lives in those that call Jesus Lord. If you don't believe me and you don't believe Paul or in Romans 8:11, how about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20? says this, I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power, the same, there it is that word again, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And yet, if we were honest, we would say that we all live in the tension of yes and amen, that's God's word, we believe it, we claim it, we pray it, we ask God for it, we receive it, and some of the experiences we've had in this world. Can somebody give me an amen there, right? Amen. Like, there's hard stuff in this world. There is. It's a temporary, there's a tension, right? But we're all living somewhere between trusting God's word as truth and the experience that we're currently living to experience that dunamis power in our lives, right? And there's two ways we can go about that. Two ways. One, we can live in doubt. We can be like, well, I prayed that prayer and nothing happened for me. This whole God thing, it's, yeah, whatever, Pastor Chad. You can get all excited all you want, right? And I mean, that's a characterization. But I also know that we all live with some level of heartache because things didn't turn out the way we wanted them to turn out, the way we thought God wanted things to turn out, because he's a good God and we can trust him with that, amen? And we all live with that. Or the second option we can have is we can live in faith. In faith, where we trust that what we see is not all everything that we see. Where we trust that this next chapter of the story of God writing his story in our life hasn't been fulfilled yet. How many thank God today that we got up, we're breathing, and God can write another chapter to our story, right? God's writing another chapter to his story through us, his body. But I do have to just say for a minute that we all wrestle with disappointments. We all deal with discouragements. We all can get a little bit sideways and depressed and sad at times. But while that's happening, can I just encourage you today with something? Can you guys be encouraged today? Dunamis power lives in you. That dunamis power is still on the move. Dunamis power is calling us into a greater redemptive ending to the story that we're currently living. A friend of mine, one of my professors from Life Bible College, wrote a book not too long ago called A Glorious Dark, Finding Hope in the Tension Between Belief and Experience. I'm telling you, I read that book. It was so helpful to me. Because we all experience some disappointment in our own hearts as we try to walk this thing out. Good news is, the veracity of the scriptures, the truth of God being dunamis, isn't qualified by me. Does that make sense? I mean, can we all be humble enough here to say, I'm not God? Thank God that I'm not God, right? Man, we'd all be in all kinds of trouble. Like we're just people. Can we just breathe? Can we be okay? But recognize that the God of the universe, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Willing, to do his will and his bidding through a body of people is still at work. Still at work. He's still painting his masterpiece in us, right? So, this is what happens. When we allow discouragement, disillusionment, an expectation that went unmet or has delayed or hasn't come true in our lives, that we all have the same temptation. You know what that temptation is? It's to just turn the lights down a little bit in our lives. It's a temptation to just lower our expectations just a little bit and to eventually allow the light in our lives to grow dimmer and dimmer in our faith, dimmer in our hope, dimmer in our trust in who Jesus is. And we end up living this little isolated, settling for a low voltage experience rather than contending for God's high voltage daily life with the Most High God. I mean, can those two truths be true at the same time? That God is all-powerful. Amen? God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. And I still need him to give me power. Right? And I'm still waiting for some things to turn. Right? But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that dunamis power isn't an event. It isn't just experiential. It's a person that lives with us day in and day out. So three things I think need to happen in order for us to figure out how to convert megawatt power of the Holy Spirit into just enough power, just the right kind of power for the situations that we're currently living in and managing, right? So a couple of things that I hope will help you and not just leave you going, man, Chad was, he's all excited today for some reason. Right? So three megawatt Holy Spirit powered conversion realities, okay? First is simply this. If we're going to experience dunamis, say dunamis, we've got to receive the Holy Spirit as a promise, right? That's that faith part, right? We got to be willing to say, okay, I don't know about all this Holy Spirit thing, but I'm sure as heck not going to sign up for the two-thirds of the whole thing, right? Hey, you want to see a picture of a miserable person? Try to live out the expectations in the scriptures without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Like that's religiosity. That's religion. That's like, I'm just an old grouchy dude, because I keep failing God, right? No. Receive the Holy Spirit as a promise. Acts 1:5-8 says this, for John truly baptized with water. I love that picture. I love that we're talking about baptism. The whole life goes under the water, the new life, the whole life comes out of the water, right? It's not incremental. It's an identity exchange, mine for his, amen? That it goes on to say that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you shall receive power. Uh-oh. We might start preaching here, y'all. You shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And how many of you like me are so glad that that first century church took on that challenge and says, I'm going to go and I'm going to wait for that power. And when that power comes, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a witness in Samaria and Judea, right? How many of you guys know that's not, this is Thornton. Like we all, because we think we're the center of the universe, all think that Christianity started here. No. No, dunamis power went out from there to here. We're the ends of the earth, right? We're the ends of the earth. And now we're doing some missions things back over in that area. I'm like, oh, we're totally going to go save them. Right? No, we are the ends of the earth. Receive the Holy Spirit as a promise. Can I just, if I encourage you with anything today, would you make it your desire today to be filled with his Spirit, knowing that it's his promise to you? It's not an experience. It's not where we'd hope the life that we could have. It's him with us every day, all day. We don't need to look for him for some big movement somewhere. The God of the universe inhabits his people, inhabits us. Second thing that I don't know if you guys may not think it's good, but I'm kind of, this is good. I like this. It's good stuff. Okay, the second part is the Holy Spirit's a person. It's a promise, but it's a person, right? I mean, don't you think that's the way God intended it? I mean, why would he go through the trouble of becoming a baby in this whole miracle thing through Virgin Mary? Why would he live his life on earth? Why would he hang a body on a cross and then say, it's better for you that I go away? Because he has a body that he wants to inhabit, and that's us. The Holy Spirit is a person, and John 14:16-17 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate. You guys know what an advocate is, right? Someone who will speak on your behalf, someone who will look out for you, someone who will cover you, someone who will take care of you, right? Who will never leave you. Can I just say this without offending anybody? When we talk about the Holy Spirit as an it, when we talk about the Holy Spirit as a, but that's not what we're seeing described here. It says, I'll never leave you. He'll never leave. He never, ever, 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 ever will leave you. It says, here he is talking to these same disciples, right? There's probably some angst in their lives. They're probably going, what the heck's he talking about? Eat his flesh. What? He's going away? What? And he's speaking to them. And he says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He is dunamis, who will lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. See, he's talking to them before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? He's saying, you know him because, why? Because he lives with you now. Ooh, that's interesting, right? The Holy Spirit lives with you, lives with them before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? He says, you know him because he lives with you now, Jesus, right? He says, and later will be in you. Because one of the most quoted verses that I use in my life is that verse that says that the Holy Spirit will stay closer to you than a brother. Like, he's always got our backs, guys. He's always in our corner. He's always taking care of us. He's always advocating for us. And so I thought it would be fun to illustrate a little bit more, right? And so I just want you guys to welcome my divisional pastor, Nico Kay, who chose to sit in the front row. And, I mean, he's been in church long enough that he should know better than that, right? You get called on sometimes. Nico, would you help me illustrate this a little bit? Everybody say, welcome, Nico. So this is, he's like my boss, okay? So be nice to him. It's easy to do because him and his lovely wife, Sue, they attend here in North Ark. This is their home church, and we're really thankful to have them here with us. And I hope he still wants to be a part of our congregation after I do what I'm getting ready to do to him, all right? So you and I, we're going to act this thing out, this I'll never leave you thing, right? This promise. And I'm going to read another scripture, and I want you to just, you know, use as much drama as you can to live this out, right? Okay? To embody this. So you're going to be our dunamis expression, okay? John 14:26, this way we're going to do it. You're going to mimic me, everything that I do here. Okay. So when my hand goes like that, your hand goes like that, right? Okay, when I scratch my head, you scratch. There you go. See how that works?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Now let's come on over here. That's good. So, hey, I like this. This is like therapy. When your boss is on the stage and, like, you know, you go like this and he's got to follow you around. This is kind of fun. But here's the deal. I walked over there. He didn't leave me, right? He's still here. He's still here. Still here, right?
I'm still here.
It's good. John 14:26 says it this way. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to make this fun. He will teach you everything, right? Everything. Come on. He'll teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you. That's the Holy Spirit, right? This, not so much. That is the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Nico. Appreciate it. Did you guys hear the promise in that? I know I was a little distracting with some of my dramatic flair today, right? But let me read that to you one more time. When the Father sends the Advocate as what? My representative. That is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not just a person. He has a personality, right? Can we say that? He's a teacher, right? He says, oh, he's going to teach us everything. He's going to lead us. He's a leader. And in fact, a guy named Francis Chan, anybody ever hear of Francis Chan? Francis is one of the pastors in the world that I have the most respect for because God did amazing work through him in California. Grew this gigantic mega church that has a huge influence around the world. And one day he said, I'm tired of the show. And he resigned and he said, I'm going to go serve the poor in another country. He spent a year out doing that and now he's kind of come back and he started to make his way back into some ministry life. I love people like that trust God in that way. Francis Chan in the book called The Forgotten God does a great job explaining this whole idea of the Holy Spirit as a person in our lives. And he gives us seven things to think about. The first is that the Holy Spirit's a person. We've talked about that, right? That the Holy Spirit is God, no lesser in the role than the Father or the Son. We've made that point today. Third is that the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy, right? That when the Holy Spirit leads us to do something, it has the same level of authority in our lives as Father, God, and Jesus, right? So those little promptings, that's not just, is that pizza? That's the Holy Spirit. Right? And he has the same authority in our lives to send us and to call us and to speak to us, to pray for somebody or speak to us, to encourage somebody or speak to us and give something. Right? That's what he does. He directs his body in the same way we just kind of saw with Come on, hit those dope beats. No, just joking. I'm not that dramatic, y'all. You know that. Okay? Stay with me. Fourth, the Holy Spirit has his own mind and he prays for us. How's that for encouragement today, right? Because I can tell you, trying to live as a pastor, live as a person who follows Jesus in my life, I get myself in some messes sometimes, right? Things where people are like, well, what about this? And I'm like, I don't know. That's pretty tough, man. Tell me how you got there. What happened? Where did this whole thing start, right? I thank God that the Holy Spirit prays for me. He prays for us, that he knows, because he's God, the right thing to do in every situation. If I'll wait on him, if I'll ask him, if I'll ask him to pray for me, if I'll trust that he's praying for me, then I'll usually find some truth of what he's trying to convey in our lives, right? Holy Spirit has his own mind, and he prays for us. Romans 8:37, go look at it. It's one of the most comforting verses I have. Okay, the fifth point that Francis Chan makes is that the Spirit has emotions and can be grieved. You guys know that this morning? Like, we can hurt God's feelings. And as your pastor, I can readily admit, standing on stage in front of all of you, I do it. Like, there are times when I don't take his direction. There are times where I miss opportunities that he wants to do something. And there are times that I allow my own fleshly desires to hurt his emotions. Is that okay? Your pastor says that in church on the week after Easter? I didn't say it on Easter, but I said it the week after Easter, right? I thank God that I have that conviction of the Holy Spirit in me, because it's that reminder that he lives in me, right? Because I can tell you, I lived a lot of years before I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I made all kinds of bad decisions, and I went all the way down that road. I thank God that he convicts me of my sin. Like, that's a good thing, y'all. It's a good thing. Having our hearts convicted of sin is a good thing, because Jesus paid the price for us. Don't believe me? Ephesians 4:30 says it this way, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Let me say that one more time. I stumbled a little bit. Guys, ready? Got your pens out? Ephesians 4:30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Now, that's a promise worth holding on to in faith, right? That he guarantees that we'll be saved on the day of redemption. Okay, sixth, the Holy Spirit has his own desires and wills. We're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that he is the one and only Spirit who distributes the spiritual gifts amongst you. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So if you've ever had that experience where you may be a little bit jealous of somebody's giftings or something God did in their lives, right? Take it up with him. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that did it. Right? Don't call me. Talk to him. Right? And seventh, and here's where we're going to kind of put the exclamation point on our message today. Simply this, that the Holy Spirit is a person who is omnipotent. Everybody say omnipotent. Omnipresent. And omniscient. Now, I probably mispronounced a few of those syllables, but that's okay. Y'all did it too. Okay? But this is basically what it means. Zechariah 4:6 says that omnipotent means that he's all-powerful. We already talked about that. He's all-powerful. He doesn't lack power. He created everything. Omnipresent means that he's present everywhere, that he goes before us, he goes behind us, he's with us, but he's out in front of us. Does that make sense? Now, I can't explain it. It's God, right? He's beyond our boxes. And finally, he's omniscient. In other words, he knows everything. And because he knows everything, he knows how the end of our story ends. He knows how the story of life ends. And we can trust him in that. We can trust that he knows how he's going to move in our lives, okay? So here's kind of where we finish up. That God gives us a personal promise of dunamis, right? That God is a person. Dunamis is a person. But the only way any of this stuff that makes sense of Jesus going away is if he goes from being a person to becoming personal with us. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? In other words, it's not just you by yourself being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yay, you. He says, all together, you're an expression of God's life. All together, you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in not just me, but in we, right? And that's where that boom can get bigger. That's where more of those firecrackers can go off as we faithfully distribute the work of God, the power of God in our lives. As we listen to him, as we know him as a person, it happens through our lives. Romans 8, 14 through 16, this last verse. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. It simply says this. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Come on. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. He, dunamis, is a person. Dunamis is personal. He is not just about an experience. He's about a relationship that he wants to have with you. Like, we don't have to be a people that just go, well, if God would just show up, right? He showed up. He's already showed up. And now he's living through us. He needs that body, right? It's not just an experience. It's a person. Maybe you're here today. And you need a little bit of power from the Holy Spirit today. Can I just say, me too? If that's you here today, if you're saying, I didn't understand this whole idea of the power thing, not being just this big show on the side, but a person that wants to be active in my life day in, day out, moment by moment, decision by decision. If that's you here today and you're saying, God, would you fill me with your Spirit? Whether it's the first time or you're refilling it again, would you stand up for me? And in doing so, what we're doing is we're saying, we're not going to live in doubt. We're going to live in faith, right? That the only way any of us make it through this thing, being his advocates in this world for those that don't know him yet, is if we allow his Holy Spirit to live through us. So today, Lord, we come before you and we recognize that we all may have been filled with your Spirit at one point in an experience that rocked our worlds. But Lord, we're also people who are filled by your Spirit in the day-to-day mundane. Lord, help us to steward that. Help us to see you in the minutia and in the giant megawatt experiences. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today. Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit fresh and anew in our hearts and lives. Lord, there are times when we get weary. There are times when things get us down. But Lord, we ask you to pour out your Spirit. Would you refresh us? Would you restore us? Would you renew us by the power of your Spirit that we would live lives where people see dunamis coming out of us. Lord, help us to live in a way that represents you, knowing that you live in us. And Father, help us not to be those who just use dunamis for our own benefits. But rather, Lord, as you call us to be a royal priesthood, you give us all these gifts, you give us your very self, so we'll be of confidence and power to live out the life that you have us by pouring out your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's my prayer today. If you'll pour it in, I'll pour it out. Lord, would you pour in your Spirit once again? As we sing this song, as we call out to the Holy Spirit, will you make it your prayer this morning? Would you ask him to fill you, to renew you, to restore you, and to strengthen you for the work that he has for you? Can we do that, church? Let's do it. Let's worship. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the way that you're ministering to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that's going on. Thank you for the assurance that you are placing in people's hearts, that you live with them, that you encourage them as your body. And Lord, we acknowledge that just like any relationship, that we're growing in it. So Lord, thank you for the special way you're showing up in our hearts and our lives today. Thank you for the way that you are encouraging and filling our tanks with the power that you do not lack. And so Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for a fullness of expression of your Holy Spirit's life in us and in the midst of us. But Lord, we pray that prayer so that we can be dunamis on your behalf in this world. Father, as we study your word over these next several weeks, would you deepen our hunger and our desire to be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that we would be a people that as we gather and as we scatter, make a difference in this world in your name. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your heart today, if he's touched you, would you give him an applause? Father, we thank you for your goodness. Give him a clap offering. You are so good. Yeah. And hey, we close our services in the same way here at North Rock every week. And that is simply by saying, if you are standing here today and you don't know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, today you can know, right? Today you can know. So we're going to pray a prayer as a community because we don't believe in people walking this life out by themselves, but we do it as a body, as a family, as a group of believers. Pray, whether it's your first time or your 50th time, let me hear you. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scriptures, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I would love to meet you after the service. I want to give you what we call a yes packet. It's just a journal. It's a Bible. It's a way to think about some tools of how to get started in this journey with Jesus. But again, if you have any need in your life, if you'd like to be prayed for, we have a team available to do that after the services. Make sure you leave this place more full than when you came in. Amen? Amen. Hey, thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.